Cheech, top of the circle, Horton, the drive, score! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Welcome back to the Big Bad Bruins podcast, the home of your 63-win Boston Bruins. Currently 63 wins. They could technically get up to 65, Chris. 65, which would absolutely shatter the previous record, which they've already broken. 63 wins last night against Philadelphia. David Pastrnak, 3 goals to get to 60, his 300th career NHL goal. It's this incredible season is just continuing, and last night was it was no different. And the thing that got me, and one of the things that really stood out, and they mentioned this on the TNT broadcast last night, not only obviously are the Bruins the first team to win 63 games, but they were the first team to actually have a chance to win 63 games with the Red Wings having had to win their final 4 games in 95-96 to get to 62, and the Lightning having to win their final 2 to get to 62 in 2018-2019, this Bruins team, remarkably, has an opportunity to win 65 games. And, Chris, it's been a magical season, and we hope that it continues for the next couple months.
Mind baffling at this point just how good this team is. Like, everyone was in their brother was pissing them on about the power play just like it seems like a week ago. Well, that's kind of turned around here pretty quickly. But to touch on another thing real quick about Pasta 60 goals, which is unheard of, from what I'm gathering from the Bruins website, there's only one other person who did that, Esposito.
Yeah, and he did it 4 times.
4 times. 76, 68, 66, and 61. Could you ever envision Pastor ever going over Esposito's 76, you know, the team record outright?
I don't know. That's tough because it's like, look, I don't know if that's possible in this NHL, okay?
So it's not possible?
Look, anything is possible, all right? But, you know, if you're going to ask, like, we've been talking about it for weeks, you know, and months, really, prior to even the contract signing, which is starting to look like a bargain right now, considering what he's been doing since he signed that contract. But, you know, we talked about it, and I mentioned it, you know, a few times. Like, he is the first Bruins megastar in a long time. And I'm talking more so than guys like Chara, more so than guys, you know, even Bergeron, who's a Bruins star, but and a great, you know, one of the best players in the NHL. But I'm trying to really maybe only make sense in my mind and maybe yours. But
the,
like,
the rat, like, personally for me, I want to cut you off. To me, he's the biggest star outright, like mega star since probably Bork in his prime. Probably. For me, anyways. And that's not taking anything away from Hockey Jesus.
No, of course not. Well, and like, that's the thing, though, because, like, to be a mega superstar, you need to score. Or, in the case of Ray Bourque, just be, you know, in an era of great defensemen, right, you can argue he was at the top or at the very near the top. Reality is, to be a mega star in this league, you need to score goals. You need to be Alex Ovechkin. You need to be Sidney Crosby in his prime. You need to be Connor McDavid, or you need to be, guess what, David Pastrnak. And right now, he's in the company of just Connor McDavid this season when it comes to scoring 60-plus goals. And outside chance if Connor McDavid somehow goes cold the next couple of games. Maybe he can catch him. Who knows? The way David Pastrnak's going right now, it wouldn't surprise me. But the reality of it is this it's just one of just so many different things that have gone right for this Bruins team. They're going to take home a whole bunch of hardware. Unfortunately for David Pastrnak, he's not going to win the Hart Trophy, but he certainly should be in the conversation. But obviously, that's going to go to Connor McDavid, and I am not going to argue that at all because, well,
no, you can't.
But the point is, this team is very clearly the best team in the NHL. They've been so since the drop of the puck in October. They've proven it day in and day out. Every streak that they've had. Right now, they're on a 6-game winning streak. They've won 12 of their last 13, and that's just ho-hum for the Boston Bruins of 2022-2023 because, well, they've been doing it all damn season. So, to me, they are very strategically resting some of their guys. Obviously, the back-to-back, you know, you didn't have Bergeron or Ullmark or Krejci make the trip. Krejci's obviously nursing a little bit of an injury, but the depth of this team is incredible because now you have, you know, you put together a line of Pastrnak, Zacha, and Bertuzzi, and they look like they played together for years. And, you know,
it's crazy.
The chemistry is incredible. And, like, you know, some of the things that they did, I mean, obviously Bertuzzi had 3 assists yesterday, Pastrnak with 4 points, the 3 goals.
He's starting to come around too, Bertuzzi, point wise, everything else.
Oh, for sure.
He's definitely found his niche in this team, 100%.
And you know what? I mean, it could have been a really dumb penalty to take, but it was obviously very late. And after the fact, I even said it on the broadcast that, you know, like, things had calmed down, and then Bertuzzi kind of came in and riled things up. I still like it because that's something that has really lacked in this team the last handful of years, is that accountability that they put on other teams when it comes to, well, hey, you know, the little cross check on David Pastrnak in front of the net wasn't the most egregious thing in the world. It was, you know, it was hardly anything, but other teams are starting to realize you touch any of the star players on this team, you're going to pay for it. And maybe that means Bertuzzi comes in with a little bit of a late cross check, or maybe that's Garnet Hathaway rubbing his glove in everyone's face every time he gets in front of the net and really riling things up. And that's something, again, that this team has, anytime they get to a situation where, you know, they run up against a team that is a little bit more physical, has some skill, but is primarily a very physical team, they would, in a sense, wither under the pressure and under the competition. Now, you try to play that type of style with the Bruins, and they're gonna beat you because they have the players that are going to not only rub your face in the dirt, but they're gonna also score some goals too and create some offense. And again, that's the thing you look at when you think about what they could do over the next couple months, and you say, all right, they're deep. They can play fast. They can play slow. And worst case scenario, you have the best goaltender in the league right now this season, Linus Ullmark. And if you don't have Linus Ullmark, well, you got a pretty darn good backup in Jeremy Swayman. Exactly. But the reality of it is, Linus Ullmark is playing every bit like the Vezina Trophy winner that he will be when the awards are announced and handed out. You know, from timely saves to key saves to just utter consistency. I mean, this is a guy who's going to have the best save percentage, goals against average, and most wins. First time that's happened since Marty Brodeur did it. So this doesn't happen. Even Andrei Vasilevskiy hasn't done that. And he's been obviously probably the best goaltender over the last 4 or 5 years in the league. So, It's incredible, and I think any sort of advantage that other teams may have had in the past just does not exist right now. And the reality of it is, any type of game you try to play, the Bruins are probably better at it.
Oh, yeah. This team kind of reminds me a little bit of that 11 teams. They're gritty. You know, that they come in waves. Like you said, they're a complete package. They can score. They can hit. it's great. I'm ready for the playoffs to start right now. This is just like, you know, get this other stuff out of the way. Just let's go for the cup and go from there. But like you said about Ullmark, if you're being mentioned in the same breath as either a top three goalie, and I say that conservatively because it's realistically probably one or two kick your pick, as Monty Brodeur, you're doing something right.
Yeah. Obviously. Oh, of course.
Like, people who didn't see Brodeur, yeah, that's all I can really say about that. Well, go check out the highlights.
Well, and this is something, too, that, like, you know, we talked about it, I think, a couple episodes ago, the signing of Ullmark. You know, it was kind of like, okay, you know, he has some pretty good numbers considering that he played for Buffalo. And that was always kind of like the thing. Okay, what happens when he has a pretty good team in front of him? Well, obviously that helps. No doubt about it. But like I said before, there are more timely saves and big saves I've seen him make this season than I can count. And I think that's something that is missed maybe for people that don't watch this team all the time and just think, okay, well, of course Ullmark's going to have great numbers. Look at the team in front of him. Well, no, I mean, there's a big reason why. Yeah, defensive structure is great with the Bruins. They've been incredible this season, even with the push to be more aggressive from the back end, you know, in terms of getting involved with the rush and pinching in and creating offense. This Bruins team knows how to stay in their lane, get back when necessary, and they have forwards that are adept at, you know, covering, you know, in situations where if the defenseman, like Orlov, I love seeing him get involved a lot. Obviously, Hampus Lindholm is fun to watch and watch him control the puck, and Charlie McAvoy. I mean, that's the thing. Here I am. I'm listing three defensemen, you know, three right. Top two unit defensemen that are all fully capable yeah. of creating offense from the blue line. And that's not something, I mean, you're lucky to have one, maybe two of those. The Bruins have three, and you know, that's not counting guys like Grizzlick or, you know what I mean, other players that yep. can still create offense. So,
While we're talking about all of these players that are in the Bruins organization and all the trades and the free agent signings, I think the person who needs some credit is largely from Bruins fans on a big apology is Don Sweeney.
Yeah. Hey.
How freaking good has he been over the last few years? 2015 can kiss my ass as far as I'm concerned. That's in the past. He's done a damn good job putting this team together. What you see is a lot of that's Sweeney.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well,
you know?
It
wasn't very long ago we were all pissed off, including myself at the front office. And
oh,
he
sure.
shut us all up again.
Well, and look, the criticism was warranted. I mean, there was certainly cause for concern, but now you're seeing things like Jacob Lauko start to play big minutes. I mean, Oscar Steen looks like a kid that's going to be a you know, like the impression that he's made over the last couple weeks, you know, before being sent down again, was promising. You know, you make savvy moves to bring in a guy like Greer, who's fit in perfectly with this team, you know.
Right.
And, of course, exactly. the trades at the deadline, the signing of Pastrnak, getting that done before free agency or before the end of the season.
Right.
All these things. It's yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely right. And, look, we
both...
Has he
been a perfect GM, though?
No, I mean, no one's...
Has he been good? For sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, look, we're both guilty of criticizing, and like I said, at the time, it was certainly warranted, but now it's like you can't. I mean, no one's probably repaired their image more than Sweeney and the Bruins front office. And that's saying something because their stock was probably about as low as you could possibly have gotten heading into this season. Because you're
good.
Yeah, well, you've fired your coach. You've had a disappointing first round exit. You looked like you might be taking a step back, you know, from what has been a pretty successful last 10 or 15 years. And now all of a sudden you look like not only like you have the best team in franchise history, but potentially one of the best teams in NHL history, depending on how and what happens over the next couple months. So, yeah, it's incredible. And, you gotta tip your hat and say good for them for going for it too at the deadline. You know,
right. There's only two.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No. Go.
Oh, there's only two things that I conceivably see stopping this team from the Cup. One, a really bad injury to one of your big boys. God forbid. Two, running into a hot goalie at the wrong time in the series. A goal, that's all it would take. That's it. That's the only two things I can see stopping this team from winning the Cup.
And even then, like, if you lose, like, obviously, if you lose one of the big, you know, one of Pastrnak, Bergeron, whatever, it's going to make things, I think it's going to level the playing field drastically. But I even then, the depth on this team, I still think that they can make a good run at things. Running into a hot goalie, yeah, that's always going to be a situation, but I just don't see it happening.
I don't want part of the. I'll tell you right now, I don't want any part of the Islanders in the first round whatsoever.
Well,
as good as this team is, I am extremely nervous about running into a team like that. That's playing the way it is.
That's honestly, Chris. That's your long history of being tortured by this franchise. Trust me. That's a little bit of that creeping into
because
this is the thing. You know who's going to have the hot goalie? The Bruins. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's like the Bruins might worry about running into a goalie that might be, you know, whatever. But see, here's the thing. The reason these hot goalies can stay hot is teams aren't able to adjust what they do on the fly. For the most part.
Well, yeah.
The Bruins, guess what? They can adjust. And if one style of play is not working, they will switch it up for you, and that's going to keep things fresh, and I think that's going to eliminate any potential for a goalie finding its groove. Because, like, even if they have, like, I mean, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have a game where, like, maybe the Bruins get, like, 48 shots and so-and-so saves 47 of them and they lose 2-1. Yeah, that's going to happen. That could happen. Like I said, I look at this and say, look, 16-4, 16-5 might be a good, I mean, again, there's no reason for me to believe, other than just past torture and those ghosts of Bruins playoff series past creeping into my subconscious.
Right.
There's no reason for me to believe that this team is going to do anything but continue what they've been doing. Because...
Well, I can't get too comfortable.
Well, you know, I'm you know... Again, I'm perhaps... You know, I don't feel like it's any sort of overconfidence. It's just reality. You know, this is a team that, like... Not only have they dominated the season, but you look, they're 3-0 against New Jersey. They're 3-0 against Toronto, or I'm sorry, a 2-1 against Toronto. I mean, all these teams that they're going to face, they've beaten. Like, this isn't a team that's like, you know, you go back to the Lightning, and even in the regular season, they struggled with Columbus. So, was anyone going to sit there and say Columbus was going to sweep them? No, but in hindsight, it's not too out of the realm of possibility that they were going to struggle against Columbus. It just happens that they lost, you know, four games in a row, and obviously they went out in terrible fashion. It's something you hope the Bruins don't do, but that's the thing. What team out there, even at its best, is going to beat this team? And you look at New Jersey, who you may consider the second best team in this conference. 0-3 against the Bruins.
I told you, I still can't get comfortable. I can't come up with a team other than themselves. But
yeah, no, well, that's the thing. The only team that can beat them right
sweep
now
the cup,
is
the hell
yeah.
with it.
No, look, I'm normally very cautious about being, or I try to be cautious about being overconfident. I get that. And I understand all the bad mojo that comes with teams that recently, mind you, that have won the most games. And what has happened in the past. I mean, yeah, of course, 62 wins and both those teams, neither of them won a cup. But guess what? When the Canadians won 60 games and set a standard, they won the cup. So, you know, this isn't like some like death knell. I think just people like to you know, be very superstitious. And I get that. Look, I was a goalie in hockey, you know, that the superstition is like right up at the top of, you know, everything that we do. So I get that. But I'm looking at this, and again, I'm just saying that there's no reason to think that any team is going to come in and beat them 4 out of 7. It's almost a statistical impossibility. I know that, again, maybe I'm digging myself a grave here, but the reality of it is I'm confident enough that that's not what's happening right now. I'm looking at it and I'm saying, this team, trust what you see. And what I see is a team that is a goal differential of nearly 70 better than the next team.
That's just so stupid.
Which, again, if you're plus 70 for a season, that's good enough most seasons to get you at the top of the league. This is the difference between what the Bruins are and the next team. And again, it's
stupid. Yeah.
So I say trust what you see. And what we see is a team that is much like, you know, for Bruins fans, obviously, you know, the 2018 Red Sox that just ran the table, essentially. Start to finish, they were just really, really good. And there's no shame in that. Obviously, there's some other examples that aren't so great, but even going, you know, let's approach the subject. Even going back to 2007 and that Patriots team, in hindsight, you could see over the final few weeks of the season that they weren't as dominant as they had been early on in the year, and those kind of issues that they had kind of propped up even in, you know, against San Diego and obviously in the Super Bowl. The Bruins have not shown that. If anything, they might be playing their best hockey of the season right now. Right now. And that's what's really incredible. So I implore people out there, don't get too superstitious. Trust what you see. And what you see is a team that is, I mean, just laps around every team in the NHL.
That's crazy. I mean, I've had to explain to this team. It's just mind baffling what they're doing at the moment. Well, it's like they'll lose like a game 1-2. Oh, let's just win 8, 9, 10 here. We'll lose one more. What the hell? If they win the cup, let's just get to the brass tacks. This Bruins team wins the cup this season. Are they the best team in hockey history for the NHL? Would you put this team up against absolutely any team in the league and be confident and say, okay, this team's coming out number one?
Look, that 76 Canadiens team, like half their roster is in the Hall of Fame. So, and look,
hypothetical, obviously.
Hypothetical and. I would certainly say they would have to be in the conversation, and that might be the best I can do, because, you know, there's going to be the folks out there that'll say, oh, well, you know, you have overtime and extra opportunities for points now, and then you could sit there and say, well, you know, back in 76, you know, there was a smaller league, and, you know, their teams tended to amass a bunch of talent, and they stayed together, so there's pros and cons for both arguments. Canadiens team was plus 216 in goal differential that season. And trust me, plus 216. So look, I can't sit here like as a Bruins fan. Jesus. It sickens me to give any sort of props to anything that you know resembles a toilet seat. Holy as Jesus a logo, Christ. And that is what the Canadiens have is a toilet seat on their Ooh. Front. But yeah, so. Best team in NHL history. I could not say that definitively. But if you're going to have a conversation about best, you know, single season runs in NHL history, 100%. If they win the cup,
right,
they are in the conversation. And it's certainly one of those conversations that may not have a right answer because it may be multiple things. So, yeah, I think it's a good question. Like I said, I'm not going to sit there and say yes, but I will certainly say that they would be in the conversation and deservedly so, because again, I mean, if they end the season with 64, 65 wins, you know, obviously a cup, you know, you add another 16 to that, that's 70, 81 wins on the season.
Unreal.
That's
mind blowing.
It's incredible. So,
Sweep the cup.
I like it. 16-0. Let's make 16-0 great again, okay? Because right now, 16-0 brings out a lot of mixed emotions. Oh, yeah. So let's make 16-0 great again. So
5-0 coming for you or what?
Oh yeah, I know. Apparently, I didn't know that was coming through through my closed window. But anyways, we'll leave it at that. I think that's a great way to end the show. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and we will be back shortly as we will gear up for the playoffs in just about a week or so. So thank you everyone. Give us a follow on Twitter at Big Bad Bruins Pod. And of course I'm at IGLEN31 and he is at Chris_Blackie. That's BLACKEY. So thank you everyone, and we will talk to you soon.